Nation. Thank you, Janine from Lantana. Rob from Boca Raton. Rob making a $50 donation. That was in March also. $50 online. Miriam from West Palm Beach making a donation by check. That was a $40 donation. Thank you, Miriam, very much. Diane, this Diane is from Royal Palm Beach, making a $20 donation by check. And Whiting Construction, who gives every month, $50 a month, great blessing, $300. Thank you very much. From Whiting, who gives construction company. And I believe they actually put the roof on our building here. Pretty sure, yes, that was Whiting.
They did.
They did a great job, too. It has held up. Rebecca from Stewart, thank you for a $50 donation. And we have Lair with Health and Wellness Center in Port St. Lucie, Florida, making a $30 donation. We're going to add all of these in. And we're almost to the top of the hour. And I can see we have our next guest getting ready to come in. I will take that and get those entered into the computer.
I just need that number off the top there.
Oh, you need the number off the top, the 1865? Okay.
I can remember it, actually. Let me put it in my phone.
It's actually the year the Civil War ended, so.
1865.
You can, if you remember
I can
that.
Remember it here.
I can put it on a sticky pad.
Okay, all right.
I'll let you pull
it
off.
Make sure
they're sticking together. All right, let's go to another song, and then we'll be back in just a few moments. And let's see, we've jumped the clock around here some more and kind of get it shook up sometimes, but that's all right. That's what we do.
You waves and your breakers wash over me. Close to deep in the mystery. I don't wanna wait a moment more. You're here, right here. I'm just gonna throw open the safe house, my refuge, savior, my anchor, ha, ha, ha. I run to you, ha, 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 ha. I don't wanna wait a moment more, you're here. Shall I feel when my God is with me? I'm safe and sound in your sanctuary. One thing I seek, to be with you, always to be with you. To the end of time.
I was listening.
All right, we are going on air, guys. We are live. We are live, and let's see. Let's see if you can get your mics adjusted there. We are going to have a God-honoring, glorifying time here in the next little bit. Keith Masters is here. Well, I don't think I'm allowed to say your last names. I can just say Keith and John. Yeah, no.
Well, it's the two amigos today.
Two amigos. What happened to the third? Something happened?
He's, he had to go ride a bobcat.
Oh, he's working.
Yeah, one of his operators.
He's working. Okay, yeah. Somebody didn't show up. You're on mic four, so I can shut that one off. All right, well, you are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It right now is 11:09, which tells me we have missed out on 9 minutes with the two amigos. They've been hanging out here. They were
sad.
On time. We have been taking your calls. Phone lines are open. And, of course, you gentlemen can give phone numbers as well. That's 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And we started Monday morning looking to raise the budget for the next 6 months. And we had $225,000 to raise. We've had a great couple days. This is our third day. And we are right now getting close to $80,000, $77,917. So we are getting close to that 80,000 number. And incidentally, we currently have $2,665. That's all that's remaining out of the $10,000 donation that started the morning. And that was Jim and Julie. Someday you amigos are going to have to meet Jim and Julie. They're an awesome couple. And, they have a heart for God. And they like the fact that right here at WCNO, we bring guys in like the two of you. And you can speak what God's saying. And so that's pretty awesome. So
it's one of the only radio stations left that will allow the things that we talk about on this radio station to actually be talked about. Because syndicated radio stations,
they're being gobbled up.
They're being gobbled up, but they have formats that they just can't. They can't talk about the things that this,
no,
being a private held,
no,
radio station, that we can convey in a very respectful way.
Yes, yes. And so big corporations, large corporations, are buying up radio stations. And, of course, they have a reach that goes all across the nation. So when they start raising money, they're raising millions of dollars. And we are right here.
Right.
I mean, God's given us, this is the largest station, the FCC license. But a lot of these stations, they have all kinds of stations. There's stations everywhere. And so we don't have all that. We have a reach, nice reach, big reach here in Florida.
Big reach.
But it's really important that the people who are in the state of Florida understand we're not a national radio station. We're owned here in the state of Florida. It's a nonprofit, totally nonprofit, 501c3, just like the church. And so when you give to WCNO, it is tax deductible. But enough about all of that. Just want to let everybody know that we're making great progress. It's possible that we could get up to $100,000 today. That would be absolutely awesome. But wherever we get to, God is our provider.
Sure.
That's bottom line. Well, I want to welcome John Nelson. And so I will say that, John, I am so glad that the devil has been unsuccessful.
He's tried
really hard to take you out.
Sometimes
to kill
he tries
you.
Real hard.
He doesn't like your heart. You have a good heart.
He doesn't like my real heart either.
He does. That's what I'm saying. He just doesn't like you at all. So you're on his hit list, right? You're one of the top 10. And Keith is over here. Keith, I love to have you guys come in because you're just real. And when you start talking about your life and what God's doing, what God has done, it starts touching people's lives. So I know that the Holy Spirit's going to just jump out and grab people today. So, Father, we just welcome you to come.
Jesus.
Bring in those that need to be tuned in right now. Move their hearts, Lord. Open their ears to hear. Let their heart be receptive. Father, we know that this is a God-ordained time. It is a big deal to me that we have two mighty warriors in the kingdom of God right here in this room with us today. And Father, you've brought them here to speak some truth.
Yes.
And we ask you to loose that and let it go forth with great power in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Keith, what's on your heart?
Oh, geez.
He's on three.
You are on three.
Three, two, one.
Let's see. Hang on.
Three, two, one. There I am.
Now
Space
you're
Coast.
Up.
There
gotcha.
We go. Space Coast. Yeah.
3, 4, and 5. So we're 1, 3, 4, and 5. Okay, good deal. Got it.
Yeah. So a couple of things. I've got Ann. I told Ann and Stephanie, two of the people that are on the two of the sisters that are on the program when we do a biblical response program on Tuesdays. The last time that we were here on the program, everybody had a little Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Everybody had a little Jesus. I don't know if everybody knows about little Jesus. Do you know about little?
I know him all about him.
Oh, you do? Okay, so I never knew. I didn't, and everybody had a little Jesus. So Ann told me, you have to get a little Jesus, and here's my little Jesus. But here's the deal, okay? Yeah, there it is. So, the question I have is, how do you get him on the keychain? I want to get him on the keychain. But I was...
Drill a hole
for
him.
So,
I get that, too.
Yeah, so the last program we had was it last week, right? Last week?
It was last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. But so Stephanie had one, Ann has one, David has one, right? The moderator for the program. And I didn't have one. They said, okay, you got to get one. Well, my mind got caught up with other things.
Right.
I'm out on the street yesterday, right? Out on the street corner. A car stops, rolls down his window, and wants to give me a little Jesus.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I'm talking about, right, the provision of God just never stops, right?
Amen.
It just doesn't stop, and he's always there. And it was just absolutely amazing. And the first thing that I thought of when the guy rolls down the window, and it's at a red light, and he goes, come here, come here, come here. You know, he waves his hand. He's got two people in the car. One of the passenger waves his hand.
And no visible guns.
No.
Well, you never know, right?
No, I'm not even concerned.
I'm not even concerned. There you go. Yeah.
Not even concerned. And he just calls me over. I go over. He goes, you got a little I said, no, I don't have a little. He goes, here. He goes, and he had a whole dashboard full of them. And he gives them out, right? But it's amazing. And I know Ann is enjoying this story right now because I text her. I said, Ann, you got to listen to this because this is just absolutely amazing. And I brought it in because I got to figure out David's going to show me how to put it on my keychain because it doesn't have anything to carry. So it's
I might trade a little of my Jesus for a little Jesus that to have your little Jesus. Mine may already have a keychain on it.
what he's missing is his hair is not arranged properly for.
Oh no,
he doesn't have the right.
Mine came on the keychain. You'll have to work something out.
But this is amazing.
Our listeners don't know what you're talking about. Explain what you have.
It's maybe David can explain it more. It's a what is it called, David?
Well,
it's a miniature statue.
It's in rubber, right?
It's like an eraser almost.
Right, it's like and it's about just a little bit bigger than that, but it is. It's an image of Jesus, right? They make it in Jesus, and you keep it with you all the time.
Yeah.
So
it's a really neat little
reminder all the time, right? You pull out your keys or whatever,
And as Jesus, it looks like an eraser. Jesus did erase my sins, right?
Right. That's right.
So that reminds us of that.
So we're not into idolatry, but
this is a means
of witnessing.
Right.
It's a means of connecting. Well, it's a means of ministry.
What happened for me was, you know, God just encourages me when I'm out on the street.
Sure.
And this is one of the ways that he just truly encouraged
me
because
it's awesome.
Because we were just talking about this at the last program from a biblical response that's on Tuesdays, 11 o'clock, not a plug.
Some really great
plug away.
Some great topics.
A good program.
Yeah. And then, but the other thing is the provision of the Lord. I know that, do we have a minute here?
We're here to lift up the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. So provision, once again. You remember the story about the hedges when I put the hedges up against my neighbor because he didn't return the lawnmower. People remember that one. Yes, the Lord.
Maybe fill in our listeners; they may not know.
So I lent my neighbor my lawnmower, and not an inexpensive lawnmower, but an expensive.
You didn't give it to him.
I let him use it.
Okay, you loaned it.
He still has it years later. He still has it. So
is it still working?
Yeah, it still works. He's still using it.
You loaned your paper and it never came back.
No, we clarified.
So your house has the 8-foot grass and the lawn.
I'm on a lake, right? A lake. And in case you're listening for the first time, there was no hedges there. There was a 5-foot fence.
Right.
So you could see through, and then my neighbor would be able to see the whole entire lake.
Sure.
Well, I got upset. So what did I do? I put these hedges up, and they grew. It blocked his view of the lake.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't see the whole lake. Now he's blocked in. He can only see from his house up to the left.
Right.
So then the Lord asked me. So I put these hedges up, and I asked the Lord. No, I did, because I was still upset with this guy, right? What am I going to do? And then I asked God. I said, God, how did Joseph forgive his brothers? So maybe people can remember that, right? And then I'm telling you, in that instant, the Lord just delivered me from the upset that I had with my neighbor.
Been carrying that.
I carried that, right. So that was a while ago when I shared that story. And then the hedges grew. So then the Lord put it on my heart. The hedges got trimmed so he could see the lake again.
Ah.
Okay? But now, lo and behold, it's been time goes by, right? And the hedges grew. And I mean, these things grow fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of hedge it is. It's like the rubber plant.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, ficus of some sort.
Yeah. But they grow fast, and you gotta
stay on.
Yeah. Right? Because they love the sun and they love the water. Yeah. And
you can sit there and watch them.
You really could. Really. Yeah. So I got them on both sides of the house. Right. I got them on both sides of the house. So the neighbor on the right, he's pretty cool. So he asked me to cut it down so he can see his side of the lake. They sit out in the backyard. So it got a little wild that I wasn't paying attention to the backyard. So he goes, I had to take a chainsaw. I had to take a chainsaw. That's how big these things got.
Wow.
Because the clippers weren't going to do it.
They're not going to do it.
So I had to take a chainsaw. So I chainsawed the right side,
right.
The neighbor on the right, right? Because he was gone for a while, so I didn't think about it.
This isn't the one that took the lawnmower.
No, it's
the other one.
Right, so I chainsawed the right side. Now, the Lord put it on my heart. Well, you didn't do the left. You didn't do the left. All right? No, really. The Lord puts it on my heart, and he's like, that's not right. And I'm like, okay. So I saw the neighbor, and the Lord put it on my heart, and I told the neighbor, I said, listen, I'm gonna cut the hedges down so that you guys can see the lake again, because I said, you know, it kind of got away from me.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, the day after I told this one, my neighbor that,
yes,
my lawn cutting guy comes. He's got 8 people with him.
Right.
The hedges got cut in like 5 minutes. But I was thinking about how I'm going to cut them with the electric clipper, with the chainsaw.
Sure.
And it's a lot of work. And I'm like, man, that's going to take me a lot of work. Because my backyard is on a slant.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Drops
so now,
off.
Right. So now the ladder has to be this way. And I'm thinking about it. I'm telling you, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, this isn't going to be fun. If the Lord does not send the 8 guys the next day, and they took care of this thing within an hour, it's all cut down.
It's done.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Wow.
You know, it was just, I mean, I'm just, I thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Mm. Really, thank you, Jesus. It just got done.
I'm still mad about the lawnmower.
No.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering.
We resolved that. That's all gone.
I know a guy from Detroit. We can. that's my lawnmower. I take my lawnmower serious.
Well, I'm not using it.
Pull the mic a little closer.
I'm sorry. I probably didn't need to hear that anyway.
No, I mean, really, you think about it, when something like that happens, you live next door and you are seeing the reminder of what happened, and the enemy wants to rub that in your face.
Well, right. I would have went and got the lawnmower.
Yeah.
I'm telling you straight up. Anyone that knows me in this town, my tools are sacred. Tools are sacred.
Right. Man.
But you want to borrow a screwdriver.
I have a lawn guy doing my lawn, so I'm not using the lawnmower.
I get it.
Right? My upset was that he wasn't returning the lawnmower.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't care that he was using it.
Yeah.
I told him, you know, go ahead and use it. But he told me that he was going to use it until he found a new lawn guy, because his lawn guy passed away or retired.
Yeah, something.
Right, retired. And he said he was going to get a new guy. Well, he decided not to do that and just keep the lawnmower.
Yeah, it must be a great lawnmower.
It's gone. It's his now. It's
Have you offered to go cut his grass with your lawnmower?
No.
Sorry.
No.
But that's been bad.
I'm going to keep my comments to her. We're here to raise money. I have a great ploy, though. We could, you know, 221-1100 for $1,000.
Okay.
I will send you a baby Jesus.
Oh,
I
want to
be
go.
Like Jimmy Falwell, whoever that guy was on TV. And I'm not knocking anybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I listen to David Jeremiah. If you make a donation, he's going to give you whatever.
Right, going to give you something.
I love that.
Yeah.
So give us 1,000 of those.
1,000?
Baby Jesus's. We'll sell for 1,000.
No, but see, they told me you got to order these on Amazon, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can order these on Amazon. I think Ann told me that. And but the guy just was... pulled up to the red, to the stop sign, to the red light, and he rolled down his window, and he gives me a baby Jesus.
Keith, would you believe that baby Jesus disappeared out of our church on the communion table display?
No.
Yes.
No.
Things disappear at church too, right, David?
Yeah,
David's pastor. So someone gave us, this was not like the $39 set. This was like a really nice
I can imagine.
Set, you know, so put up Christmas, you know, we have the full manger scene and all of that. And we came in on Sunday morning and Jesus was missing.
Wow.
Did they offer a hostage? If you go around the country and really pay attention to that, like we were in St. Pete.
Right.
I was with my daughter at Christmas, and they had in a park. It's this beautiful, decorated.
Right.
They had a huge nativity, full-size stuff. Well, they had a cop watching baby Jesus because people would steal
it. Yeah.
And then they would want ransom.
Exactly.
Because, first off, they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No one offered ransom. You know, we should have went online and checked, you know, but we never got baby Jesus back for that set. So we have a full manger scene that's really nice without a baby Jesus.
Wow.
I got a text from Ann Limhoko.
Yeah.
Who's one of our hosts on the program. Says she's listening. She says, to tell you, Keith, she's glad the Lord blessed you with a little Jesus.
Right.
Says, and they have ones on a keychain and ones that aren't.
So, oh, okay.
So they have the both.
All right, so.
We got Luke Lewis listening in right now.
Luke's listening.
Luke is
a good guy. I tell you what, we like him a lot.
I love them.
Yeah, they're precious people. I'll tell you, you brought them in. Their program is bringing so much information.
Oh, yeah.
It is amazing.
They are doing great things
up
in Fort Pierce with people that are in the price ranges that most people can't afford real estate these days.
Sure. I mean, it's,
or don't know how, like they talk about detail
there.
About contractors like me and what it takes to be able to get a mortgage. They have workshops and they can help you. You know, that's what I love about this rate, and that's what God's put me on. I got a lot of things going on. Jenny's died 6 years ago Tuesday, so we've been talking a little bit about that with people because it's turned in more of a memorial, and I was talking to Sherry about doing a program on her demise.
Okay.
You know, the rise and fall.
Yeah, we need to do that.
And how it's led to me, that's really was the driving force to start advertising on WCNO. And I knew my buddy from Gutter Guy. I've been listening to this radio station a long time.
Bill.
And then you go in, I see him in the jail. He helps us in B4 at Dunklin Dorm all the time. And, you know, he lost his son to this. And there's help.
Yeah.
You just never know. And we just had our 60th rescue. And it may not sound like a lot. I think it's been 4 or 5 years that we've been doing that.
Tell me about a rescue. What is a rescue?
Well, sometimes law enforcement, sometimes lawyers, sometimes family will tip us off on somebody that's working.
Okay.
Working the streets, in the trades.
Okay.
9 times out of 10, they're drug addicts.
Yep.
And but, you know, even law enforcement, I hope someone's listening that's struggling, they don't want to arrest them. They want to help them. They want the drug dealer. They want the trafficker.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the guys and girls that are being trafficked,
the users,
they want to help them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to walk into a police station today, anywhere in the listening, you're all the way to Fort Lauderdale, and tell them what's going on in your life, they're not going to scrutinize you. They're going to get you help.
That's awesome.
See, but the reverse side of that is they're going to get sick, and then they've got men or even women, madams, that are running them that scare them.
Wow.
If you leave, this is what's going to happen to your family. I mean, there's a scare
tactic. Really? They threaten them. They're scare tactics.
It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on since caveman days. I mean, this is not new. The beautiful part is Trump's in the Sparrow Project. The day Biden got into office, the human trafficking money was canceled. They canceled all human trafficking law.
The day who got into office?
Biden. When Biden took over.
Okay.
He canceled all the money for human trafficking. Going and get the traffickers and get awareness.
Okay, yeah, you need to explain that.
Well, the Sparrow Project was designed by Donald Trump to go and fund authorities and other offices to be able to track down missing people.
Ah, so this was against the trafficking.
Yes. This was a whole task force, and it was a huge task
force. So you're saying President
force.
Biden defunded all that?
The day he got in office.
Hmm.
And the day that Donald Trump got back in office, the money was returned so we can go after the people that are guilty of this. And the sad part is they're protecting it. The Epstein list is going to come out and the Diddy list is going to come out.
It's still not
but
out.
But is it really going to come out? Because
yeah,
there's some powerful people
on that,
that
list
have been doing these things. Mm-hmm. And they don't want them exposed. So, you know, and people ask me, how come you're so passionate? Well, I'm passionate because my wife died to this. Mm-hmm. And we are 12-year 501c3. We met. We were Families Against Drunk Driving. She drove us to become Families Recover because of opiates. And she died at her own hands from going back to addiction. And was working on Bridge Road. And people are like, well, how can you talk that passionately about someone you love? Because we're past the sorrow. Now it's a passion.
Yeah.
And we get phone calls from these ads. Anyone that wanted to advertise, this is an incredible, great radio station to advertise your business. And that's where I was headed with this. I was listening all the way down to the top of Miami.
Yes, right.
Almost to, I was just passing Yeehaw Junction, all the way out to almost the lake.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This radio station, dollar for a business, it's well worth it. Ask Luke Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah. God,
he was sold. He came in just to do an interview.
You're right. Right.
And that's a great
But
program,
he's a businessman. And I'm a businessman.
Yeah. And this
is a business. And it takes a lot of money to run this
business. Make it happen.
You know, and if you're listening right now, $10 a month, $20 a month, if you got $100,000, write the check.
Yeah.
Because this is something that we need. If you've got children, especially, if you're not watching your kids, one of two things, three things are going to happen. They'll grow up and be okay, like my three, thank God. Two, they're going to start doing things that they shouldn't because fentanyl's in the high schools right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And three, go into actions that they shouldn't have got involved with and then possibly and or get snatched.
Yeah.
And people say, well, that can't happen. I talked to Congressman Mast. He don't even want to talk to me about it. I ask him, you got two kids and you don't even want to talk to me about this. I go, what makes you think that your kids are any more safe than mine?
Mm. Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't you want to be for this?
Yeah.
See, and that's just a situation that,
yeah.
Yeah. So this week we're celebrating her death, and we just got our 60th person off the streets.
That's awesome, though, John. That
Teresa that was in the studios looking for a two-bedroom apartment right now, she's going to be, and she's been reunited with her kids, but now she's to the point where she's going to be able to get a place and get the kids back full-time.
This is the lady that came
was
in?
Here. Yeah. Both of them. Another one, Casey, that was here too, same thing.
Wow.
She's got her kids back in an apartment. And I text Luke because we're looking for an apartment complex. And this is really out passion of my heart. We need money because we need affordable housing. These people that have broke their backs to get kids out of foster can't get them out of foster because they can't get an address. Because affordable housing on the Treasure Coast, it's non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-existent. Even in the bad areas, which Stewart used to be Golden Gate, it ain't the fact anymore. Banner That's Lake, right. They're building brand new houses in Banner Lake. Mm-hmm. They're building brand new houses off Avenue D. So where does someone come up with $7,000, $8,000 to move into a rental? These people ain't got that kind of money. So the kids stay stuck in foster. It's a national epidemic right now.
People are listening, guys. Steve and Kathy just called in making a $100 donation. And incidentally, thank you very much, Stephen and Kathy, for that. But they're wanting prayer. Please pray for Stephen's four granddaughters. Their parents, let's see if I can read this, two separate families, their parents, two separate families in both families are not married or even together. The children are being used as pawns.
That's always.
Yeah, Stephen and Kathy are not even allowed to talk about Jesus to their granddaughters. And so they're asking for prayer today. Why don't you guys just lead out in prayer? Let's lift them up, Stephen and Kathy.
Father, we just thank you so much for people that want to spread the news. I have the same situation in my family up in Michigan, and it's a very hard road, father, to be able to be tactfully talking to kids about this to where it's not going to interfere with the parents' demands. Father, we just want to lighten their heart and let them know that if they're listening, that we love them, and there's nothing that love can't conquer.
Right.
And Lord, we know that you put us on this property, this earth that you've given us to be lighthouses to people. And if they can't see Jesus or hear Jesus, at least they can see the light through you. Yes. And we just thank you for people texting in, writing in, or voicemail in to the radio station with the needs that they need, because God loves the little children. And
yes,
we just
do,
believe
Lord.
That in Jesus' name.
And yeah, Lord, we also pray for those children, Lord. Through your spirit, Father God, to use other avenues and other channels, Lord, for these children to be able to hear about you,
thank
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Doesn't have to come directly from the grandparents, Lord. And we just pray for the peace for the grandparents, Father God.
Yes.
We pray for their peace and their trust in you.
Yes, Lord.
That you will get your word, your love, your mercy, your goodness, your salvation to these children, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord, and to just blanket them, open up their ears, open up their eyes, Lord, and let them be words of wisdom for other children near them, Father God. And all this through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray, Father God.
Amen. So, you know, when you guys come together, I always have to ask you, you got to tell some of your God story, because people are listening that have never heard from either one of you. And our audience changes, they say, about every 15 minutes with radio. So people's in their car shooting across town. So John, you're talking about seven-year anniversary.
And six years.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you come from? You know, you're talking about losing your wife and at that time.
You know, I've been saved for quite a while, and it didn't make... When Jennifer had to leave our home, she was using heroin.
Okay.
Okay. We met sober. I would remain sober. Our kids are sober. But it got to a point where we couldn't have that in the house no more.
Yeah.
And trust me, any family that's listening to this right now knows I went as far as I could possibly go.
Yeah.
I mean, way out, where the whole family's looking at me like, you know, you're endangering your own kids.
Right.
And I didn't enable her, because I know that that's not the way to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, she went out, and I found her living in the streets. We were taking kids to the Miami Heat this one weekend, and I found her, and she's in her car, and she had nowhere to go, and I couldn't bring her home. So I said, I'm going to put you in a hotel room. So I take her to Suburban, and I made her a deal, because she owned the house too, so I was going to have to financially give her money, but I wasn't just going to hand her money.
Right.
Long story
destroy
short.
Her.
We go to the Heat, she's communicating, I go there in the morning, and she's completely out of it. Yeah. And I'm thinking, she's high. So I go to Walgreens, because they sell Narcan, and I got everything else, shampoo, soap, Gatorade, blah, blah, blah. You know, typical I'm going to save my wife thing. And I went back, and I tell her, okay, she didn't come out of it when I Narcaned her, which should have been the first indication that something's wrong. So later in the day, I had met with Stuart Copps, and gave over some drug dealer phone numbers, because anybody knows I have no problem turning in a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And if that offends somebody out there, it's okay. Talk to Jesus about it.
Amen.
And it's okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No fear there. And I went back, and she had gone to the bathroom on herself, all the way from the bathroom to the bed. And she was like completely out of it. So we called the detectives. They came real quick. They brought ambulances, and it turned out that she got endocarditis from dirty needles.
Mm.
So, long story short, we get her recovered. A great Ambrosia treatment center later came in. She stayed sober 91 days, got drunk, hit a car on Ocean Boulevard.
Oh.
I went and bombed her out. She's still on heart medication, because they had to do open heart surgery on her. My surgeon saved her life.
Mm.
They bonded her out, and that was the end. That was the beginning of the end.
Wow.
And that Christmas that year, how she stayed out of jail on bond, I have no idea. And I begged the people to pull the bond. This is what a drug addict will do. She had gone around to her clients, because she owned a very thriving cleaning business, convincing them for 4 or 5, 6 months that I was beating her.
Wow.
See, and that's kiss me on the lips and then go tell people that your husband beat me because you don't want to give up the facade that you're a full-blown drug addict, right?
Right.
So I just told him this. I called him on the phone. I said, you just signed her death warrant.
Wow.
And they said, you're a very evil man. I said, okay, keep that thought. And she had a stroke at Christmas. I went down to JFK and seen her. She reinfected her aortic valve, which was a fake one, and she lasted about 3 months. Checked out of the hospital. Mm. See, is it tragic? I knew, and if anybody's listening that's lost somebody, I knew when we had her leave on a Sunday that I would get the phone call.
Wow.
I knew it. It's just, when am I going to get that phone call? Yeah. And it was a Sunday. It was about a year later.
Hmm.
The
wow.
phone rings and Jennifer's dead. See, but that's turned into a memorial of saving other people and having a great relationship on this radio station because there's not a lot of radio stations, and I can tell you right now, none of the syndicated would let me talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk about the government, the Sparrow Project. You're not going to talk about human trafficking. You're not going to talk about homelessness or overdose death.
Right.
You're not.
Yeah.
They're not. You're not listening to that anywhere else except right here.
Mm. And we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about it because...
I wish more people... The news isn't even talking about it anymore because the left owns all the media, which I was Fox and NBC's advocate for DUI and drug overdose, you know, for this region,
right.
a couple hundred miles. I haven't heard from them in 18 months. You know why? Because they don't talk about fentanyl overdose that's
right.
still 350 people a day. 350 a day.
350 a day.
Or how about the kava bars or the kratom that's being sold over the counter, which kratom has...
What is a kava bar?
Kava,
they're popping up all over town.
It's a brew that they get from a root that actually gets you a little high.
And it's legal.
Mm-hmm. And it's legal.
Okay.
How about kratom, which is a derivative?
What is kratom?
It's a derivative of an opiate, but it's all natural, mm-hmm. right? Because there is, in all of your medications, some of that stuff is natural ingredients.
Yeah. yeah.
Like Entresto, there's ingredients in there that come from the land.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to get more phone calls from around the country where people are trying to detox. It's a worse detox than heroin.
Wow.
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 And I won't, you know I'm sober. I have no problem talking about it. Anybody that I work with that's coming in newly sober, kava, kratom, and even dating. They're not dating for the first year.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, if you want to stay alive, because now it ain't just about staying sober. Now it's, they're finding it in pot pens, fentanyl. They're finding it in vape pens now.
Wow.
You know, and it's,
this is serious.
It's
serious.
It's, big, it's a big
serious.
Deal.
Yeah.
And
serious.
The people that I, and you know, it's so hard raising money for a nonprofit like us because we're one of the last people that they call. And it's
right.
usually they're already in jail or they're already dead.
And they certainly mm-hmm. don't have any money.
And it's hard to raise money. That's right, because the people have spent all their money trying to save their kid or their family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This isn't just an age discrimination. We have a 60-year-old that was just getting off heroin.
Wow.
So it affects everybody.
You know, it's a national mm-hmm. epidemic.
Everybody. Yeah. If you look at the...
But people are making it, and you had them right here in the studio.
Yeah, they are getting free... Give a little more of that story.
You know, I just had we had Jamie in here. She had a liver transplant.
Yes.
Maybe mm-hmm. she's not as far to the crown, the throne as we are.
Not into the kingdom,
you know,
quite as
I
far
as
she's going to be.
Exactly.
She's coming.
She's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's a success story. She's got her kid back in her life. She's got a new liver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Teresa, texting her every day, get my kids. Let's get a place to live. Luke Lewis texted me and said, let's talk about the apartment complex deal.
Wow.
It's hard because we need money.
Yeah.
But like I said, when it comes to raising cash, we had the golf tournament and the heat. We had some big contributors, but we got Elevate Hope here. We got Project Lift here. There's a lot of safe, what was the pregnancy one?
Crisis pregnancy.
Yeah.
CareNet.
CareNet. You know, I'm competing and I'm not saying that because God's always produced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I needed $1,500 to pay off the heat last year for our foster kids, and it showed up.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of times, like right now, where I'm funding it, and thank God I'm still able to work, even being on a heart transplant, that I can keep paying this bill and a few other bills, because we really don't have an overhead.
Right.
We put it all right back into programs or helping people. We just paid a young lady, got her license fixed. You know, you can't do anything without a driver's license.
Mm, that's correct.
So, I mean, there's a lot. You know, Oxford House, I'm really, really big with them. I really love what they do. They're for women, and they do have rooms in each house. They have 100 and some odd houses, and they're remodeled. They got, I don't know how many, 30 in this region. The one that Teresa and the girls are at, completely remodeled. It's nicer than my house.
Well, that's great.
And there's
that's
rules. But when you're locked into paying $800 rent, and you can't, how can you save to pay a $500 ticket?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How do you, we got Teresa and a couple other girls' cars last year. How'd that happen? God resourced us some cash.
Amen.
You know, and now here they are driving their own cars. And, and what I love to see, because you'll see people in recovery, both of those girls at that house are taxis for the other girls.
Yeah, so they help each other.
So they're giving
out.
Back.
Yeah.
Wow. See, because if it's all about giving back.
Wow.
You know, Jonathan, I'm just listening as I listen here. You know, the Lord provides, and I'm talking about, you know, just somebody opening their window, and it's a small thing, or the hedges get cut the next day.
Yeah.
But it, just the message that really needs to be sent out is that the Lord does provide, and as we're listening to John and the people that are in his life, that the Lord is providing all their needs, and the Lord does provide, and it's a promise from Jesus. He will get, he will provide for you
in his timing.
But
in his timing,
way,
right. In his way, See, a lot of people get sober and they're all like, "I got fixed and I'm 9 months clean."
Well, it's about
how
trusting.
Come all this ain't coming.
Yeah,
well,
it's coming about trusting.
You're right.
Right. It's about, and if you're in those circumstances, to take that first step to trust the Lord, to know that the Lord will provide for you.
Yeah.
And go get a job.
It's that first step. It's that first step that you need to take. You know, my brother is in a situation. He's you know, an alcoholic, and I keep trying to talk to him about the Lord. But it won't go through.
Yeah.
You know, his heart is hard because of his addiction. And, you know, you hate to see it on anybody.
Sure.
You hate to see it on anybody.
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, but listening to you, God provides for the people that are in need, and the people that are walking in step with him for that help.
You know, God says, bring one of the biggest things in recovery is you can pray, but you better get out of bed. You can pray, but you better bring a shovel.
Well, Jesus said, "Come, follow me."
That's right.
You know, you have to walk. You have to move. You have to cooperate.
And thankfully, the houses that we're involved in all over the country now—not every state—but they have that ethic: get out of bed, brush your teeth, get on your knees and pray, eat something, go to a meeting,
and that's Oxford House.
Yeah.
Well,
they're
thank
very,
God.
Very disciplined. They're not thank the God. Only ones. There's a lot. There's a couple.
It's
here
good. It's good. So, Keith, we met you, heard a little bit of your story. You know what I'm going to ask you. You're in a truck, you're in a truck and you're heading north, right? I want to hear the chains. You know, I want to hear the chains drop because we're talking about a condition in our nation where, you know, just meeting with a bunch of leading pastors the other day, and the discussion is about there's going to be a lot of money, millions of dollars, that's going to be thrown at homelessness. And I'm like, okay, all right, but the money doesn't fix the problem.
No.
And the programs can't fix the problem alone either. I mean, there has to be a transformation. And Keith, when you talk about that, I know people who have been in programs that need to know about the power of God. What happened to you?
What happened to me? You know, I equate it to Paul having, his
Damascus
experience, Damascus Road experience. Yeah. And I mean that, and trying to explain it doesn't even do it justice. It just doesn't, because I was an alcoholic. I smoked. I've done drugs. I've been in jail.
Yeah.
Gambled.
A lot of addiction.
A lot of addictions, and just wrapped up in chains of addiction. But
you were a functioning addict.
I was. Well, I was functioning. But
sort of.
Yeah, because, you know, waking up in the morning, not realizing, you know, and this was, I was functioning, but I was a weekend warrior.
Okay, gotcha.
I was a weekend warrior. And my wife used to call me, you know, just one more. And yeah,
she called you.
She did. She called me that.
Because hey, you must have said that a few times.
Well, I wouldn't fall down. That was the issue. Wow. I didn't fall down. But then you get into the blackouts, and then when you wake up, you got to, you know, what did I do? What did I say?
Yeah.
The embarrassment that comes with that. You go into hiding. You go into depression.
Yeah.
And one day, I was just the Lord. I was I was driving my van. It was we had a pet food business, a delivery business, and I was driving it up north. And I tell you that chains literally fell off of my body as I'm driving. Chains fell off of my body. They hit the floor of the truck. And when I tell you the sound that they made, like the ship dropping anchor, a battleship, how big those chains are, and you can hear them a mile away. And this is what was hitting the floor of my truck. And I just started, my arm started to go up and lift. And Jonathan, I didn't understand everything that was going on with me, with the Lord at that time, because this was something that happened after God first came into my life.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that happened was I was sitting at Burger King having lunch, and one of the best things to do after lunch is to light up a cigarette. Mm. You know, your cigarette in the morning with your coffee after your lunch, after you have a meal. Those are the good cigarettes, right? Those are the good ones. But in Burger King, I'm sitting there and I light up a cigarette, and then I must have taken about two puffs. And this is coming from somebody who said, and my son was born, this is somebody who said that nobody is going to take smoking away from me, right? So at this time, because my son was just born, I'm going to smoke outside. My wife is asking me to smoke outside, one of those things, you know? And so the trouble that's going to bring along with it, the discontent, you know, the aggravation. But I'm sitting in Burger King, and all of a sudden, I took like two or three puffs of this cigarette, and I threw it out. Mm. I took the pack out of my pocket, and I just threw that out, not even caring where it was going. I just threw it away from me. Mm. I didn't want it. And this is something that, because the Proverbs 1, verse 7, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Yeah. And let me tell you, God put the fear of God into me. God put the fear of God into me, and he came and he cornered me, literally cornered me. And he said, okay, which way do you want to go? Which way do you want to go? And I know not that I could see him, but he was asking me, which way do you want to go? And there was a corner. And I'm telling you, hell is real.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling it. And the Lord, and his loving mercy, you know, this is God's mercy.
Yeah. Grabbing your heart.
Grabbing my heart.
Yeah.
Because of who I was.
Yeah.
And that is just somebody walking around in foolishness.
Yeah.
Right? Walking around in foolishness, selfish as can be. I mean, just selfish as can be. And when I say selfish, you have a family that you're just, you know, that's starting, and you're still concerned more about yourself and what's going on in your life than you are about anything else that's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And it took me months, because the fear of God was on me, and he got my attention, and I didn't understand. And they call it a journey, because I am still learning.
Amen.
Amen. I am still learning.
Amen.
In a strong way.
How did this impact your marriage, your home? How has this impacted you as a father?
Well, I think the first year I just went headlong right into it, and everybody was wrong. And I was right. It took a little while to calm me down.
Because you're on a different team.
I'm
you're
on
still
a different
on wide
team,
open.
Right?
Yeah.
My approach might not have been so eloquent. And I said, I said to God, you know, this, I don't know if I'm doing this right? Because I experienced God.
Yeah.
everybody has to know about him.
Yeah.
Right? What did Paul say? If everybody could be saved, and if he could go, right?
Be willing to be cast away.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, but this is what was on my heart. And it's just like, because I was, God was so visible at
the
that.
The zeal of God.
And that's, as my sister told me, this is all you want to talk about. This is all you want to talk about. Yes, it's all I want to talk about.
Because it's life.
Yeah. And it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. And people, they don't know that it's real because of all the distraction that is going on.
Right. Right.
There's so much distraction. And who is that?
Yeah.
Who is the distraction, right? The distraction is the devil taking you away from the knowledge of God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know.
Chains are still off.
Yeah, chains are still off. And, you know, I accepted Jesus maybe when I was about, 20? And I was thinking about this. Why did this happen to me? Because I accepted Jesus when I was 20. And I took a left turn.
Yeah.
And God is saying, hey.
He was not Lord of your life.
He was not Lord of my life.
You had a head knowledge.
I had a head knowledge.
But you didn't have a transformation. Yeah.
I always thought that God, and this was, I think, from my Catholic thinking and my Catholic upbringing, I always thought that God was up in the heavens, right?
Yeah.
And that when I died, I'm just going to heaven.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that.
You need to have a relationship.
Yeah.
You need to have a relationship with Jesus, because he's the one that sacrificed himself for you.
Yeah.
And why did he do that? He did that for you.
Yeah.
He did that for each and every person. You know, so the chains are still off. There's always going to be something there, right?
Like the neighbor.
Like the neighbor. Right.
I heard a lot more.
I thought he was over that.
But that's true, right? But that's so true. It's like the neighbor, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be there.
There's going to be something.
There's going to be something. And so you don't want to get guilty on yourself, which I've done, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the journey, right? And it's just God calling you back to be, you know, closer to him, because when that starts to happen, you're moving a little bit away or you're being pulled away, and the Lord just wants you to get back.
Pull you back. Correction, but not condemnation.
Right.
No condemnation.
Right.
But God will correct us.
Well, it's important to be able to, just for a couple minutes, discuss that.
Yeah.
To, you know, what is the difference? Because when you're working with new people, even people that have been around a while.
Yeah.
And know the Lord and the love, get caught in that, am I being condemned or am I being convicted? There is a difference.
That's true.
You know, and if you're not in the right frame of mind, because I don't think everybody's spiritually fit 100% of the time, and we talk a lot about that in recovery, you know, I have to self-talk to myself, and it took me years to learn that, because I wake up in the morning with, I have clinical depression, you know, and it takes me 10 minutes every day to get out of that.
Got to keep our eyes on the prize.
Absolutely.
You know, I was 15 when I was born again. But following that time, you know, there were things that caught my eye, you know, like ladies and other things caught my eye. And I was working in a restaurant in the area. It's called the Manatee. And it was a high-end place, you know. Presidents came there, golfers, musicians, all kinds of people came and went from that place. And, you know, I went in as a busboy. It was one of the jobs I was working. And, you know, I'm hauling ice to the bar and such forth, and then I'm working in the kitchen, and they're starting to, the rest of the staff, let's get this preacher's kid drunk, you know. So they're putting stuff in my Coke and whatever I'm drinking there, right? So then one day someone said, why don't you try tequila? And so, man, I like that stuff.
Yeah.
I said, hey, I like this. And so the bartender, he goes, hey, listen, not while you're working, but, you know, at the end, he said, just come over, I'll take care of you. And so I started having my tequila, a nice little burn in the belly, went to sleep really well when I got home and headed out. And so, you know, this is going on in my life. There's some other things that are sort of slipping. Some of the, you know, moral directions. I didn't end up at those destinations, but the direction was set, and it wasn't really right. And one night, you know, a guy comes in, and these people would come in with their yachts. You know, they've been drinking however long, I don't know, but this guy, he was like out of there. But he grabbed me by the arm. And he looked at me. And he said, young man, what are you going to do with your life? And he, I mean, this
out of
guy,
nowhere.
He's, out of nowhere. You know, his language slurred, everything else. And all of a sudden, he just grabs my arm. He said, young man, what are you going to do with your life? He said, I've been watching you, and you have initiative. And he said, what are you going to do with your life? Wow. And it was like God just.
Right. Right.
Directly speaking to me.
Right. He grabbed you.
And here's this guy. I'm sure this guy doesn't remember anything he said probably the next day, maybe 5 minutes later. But at that moment, I'm on the spot now because God had called me into the ministry. I knew that. And so I told him that, and he goes, well, there's not much money in that. Unless you're Billy Graham. That's what he told me. There's not much money in that unless you're Billy Graham. But he said, is that what you really know? I said, I know. That's why I'm on the planet. He said, then you better let go of everything else and pursue that.
Wow.
He said, or else you'll never get there.
Wow.
And so, you know, keeping our eye on the prize, that, you know, I think about how God loved me enough to put a drunk guy in a restaurant that he could speak through. It was like the donkey, right? I mean, it wouldn't matter. Right. God could have spoke through whoever. But I think about how God has lovingly placed barriers around my life from the time I was a kid to where, you know, it's like bumper cars, you know, I'm running on wide open, bam, and then God would like awaken me and channel me in a different way. And that's what we're talking about today. It's not like
that's right.
You start out and you're totally free. I mean, I'm freer today than I was 2 years ago.